Simon McStravick is the founder of Flow Dreaming. She is an author, a speaker, and a coach who has helped thousands, probably countless thousands of people over the past 20 years step in and live the lives that they truly want to live. Welcome to the show, Summer.
Thank you, George. Pleasure to be here with you.
I'm excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Ooh, well, where do I start? My work is my personal life. I'm one of those types. No, I actually love my work so much. I feel blessed that I got to create a life around doing something I love. Not to say I hasn't had challenges getting here, especially inside myself, reaching this point. As for personal, I'm still married to my high school boyfriend. I've got two kids entering college or in college. So I'm about to be empty nesting. And I have a giant German Shepherd Husky who is very happy to guard our house. That's basics right there. Flow Dreaming is the work that I do with people. It's a brand, quote, but it's also a practice. I mean, fundamentally, it's a practice for personal growth, interchange, and you could say manifesting. So I've just devoted the last 20 years to it and been teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. In a nutshell.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's difficult to distill one's work down to a 30-second soundbite. What brought you to the work?
So I began this process, like I said, about more than 20 years ago in the year 2000. I was, I've always been in the personal growth and spirituality era of my upbringing. Eventually, my work led me to work for Hay House Publishing, worked there for a decade, put together Hay House Radio and basically their whole audio department. It was during this time that a practice of mine that I discovered in the year 2000, because at that time I was desperately trying to manifest or create, co-create, all the different words for it. I had sort of fallen into this practice by accident, some say discovered or whatever you want to say. But by the time I reached Hay House, the word was starting to get around that this was something unique and different that seemed to work for a lot of people, whereas meditation, affirmations, a lot of other practices weren't yielding the results they wanted. So at that point, I wrote a couple of books for them and started my podcast there. And that's where everything just took off. From that point, I spent, like I said, a decade there, and then I transitioned and began sharing Flow Dreaming with the world full time. So as a practice, like I said, it's something similar to meditation. It's not meditation, though. It is today, I think people would call it an energy activation. Depends on how woo-woo you want to get with it. I work with a lot of psychologists and clinicians, and they say it's called emotional reconditioning. I'm like, okay, we'll go with that one. Just depending on where you want to, do you want to connect spirituality to it or not? But the gist of it in a nutshell is that we take these three different modalities that we already do. One of them is daydreaming. One of them is deep emotion. Emotion on demand, as I sometimes say. And then the third one is flow state. And people usually think of flow state as something that they would use for peak performance. Dr. Mihai, Chichen Mihai, positive psychology psychologist, coined the term when he was talking about people who were envisioning their perfect time on their run or reaching some milestone in their work, being in the zone, if you will. And what I discovered is that if I could do this process on demand, I could get myself there. And it wasn't very hard to do. So I take these three things and I put them all together and stir them up. And I daydream my way into basically flow state. And that's where, for me, the real magic occurs, because that's when I begin to exude and become and experience the person that I feel I truly want to be or have in my life. How do I want to have the person that I am? I know that was a convoluted, but I'm thinking about the things that I want to have. And so for me, things that we create in our lives, we have goals, of course, and they're good because they give us a physical thing to move toward or move after. All of our goals, though, eventually just give us basically emotional states that we're looking for, no matter what that goal is: money, a house, a partner, Everything is leading to a way we want to feel because of that thing. So I kind of short circuit the process and I say, fine, you can think about the thing that you want to create for yourself, your next goal you want to hit. But let's instead focus on the feelings that the goal will give you. Call these emotional endpoints. And anybody listening right now can write down anything they're working on right now, getting their raise, getting the project finished and out the door, resolving this big conflict with their sister. Every single one of these has an emotional feeling attached to it. That's the real honest driver of it. Maybe it's safety. Maybe it's freedom. Maybe it's like for wealth, for instance, it's often safety and freedom. Those are the feelings we're trying to get. So we tend to choose things in our life from what's laid out in front of us that we think will get us to those feelings. But again, going back into flow dreaming, we go straight to the feelings. And then we sort of let the universe, we let life kind of come up and suggest to us, maybe the route you're on is the easiest way to get those things. And you're right, you pick the right next steps, but maybe you didn't. And if you didn't, wouldn't you like to know the easier, faster, kinder, gentler, more, you know, conducive way? And that's where, you know, I think that the universe kind of kicks in and says, we're going to shift your goals for you, but we're still going to get you to those same emotional endpoints. So the kind of manifesting I practice, the spirituality I practice, I call it playing the long game. This is nothing that gets you overnight riches necessarily. Sometimes I've seen it, but generally speaking, I work on myself with this spiritual practice every single day. And I have for the last 25 years. And like going to a gym, right? You work on your arms every day, they get stronger. Most of us don't work on our spiritual or our emotional selves every single day, but I do. And the long-term effect of that is I have shifted and changed my emotional system from the emotional conduits that roll through my brain, sort of like with meditation, right? It changes your neural network and creates better neuroplasticity. This process does the same thing, but think of it as shifting and changing your emotional channels. And beyond that, if you go into sort of the spiritual aspect, it's also communicating deeply who and what you are, because you're building it inside yourself every time you practice it. Now I'll give you a chance to speak because I can really get on a roll. Sorry, George.
No, not at all. I'm grateful that you did. And I love all of it. It makes sense to me that you go straight to the feeling versus and shortcutting it or hacking it or short circuiting it, whatever term that you used. Do you think that most people, is it hard for most people to figure out what they really want and how they want to feel? Or
Oh yeah. Good question. I was thinking about that just the other day. I was taking a drive and I was asking myself, how do I really want to feel in my life? And I was specifically thinking, I was scrolling ahead in my mind, like 10 years from now, when I, you know, enter retirement, I know that can't possibly be heading to retirement.
No way.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted you to say. But I was really feeling like what kinds of activities, what things could I do that would really help me feel the way I intend to feel? And I kept coming up with blank. Like, I don't actually know. Once I stop maybe, you know, growing and teaching flow dreaming, what then? And it was a really good reminder to me that a lot of times we don't know exactly where we're going or what we want, only that it's got to be not where we are. And then we get really angry and upset at ourselves. Like, how come I don't even know what I should do next? I don't know what the next step is. So the beauty of this process, though, is you don't often have to know. If you're deciding, do I get a new job? Do I move? Do I, what will it take? How much money in the bank? What's the number that's going to make me feel a certain way? We don't often know. Or we guess and we're wrong. So we end up, and I call it a kind of flatlining, emotional flatlining, which is I'm just kind of waiting. I'm just stuck and I'm waiting. So in that case, what I do when I go into flow is I say, look, just because you don't know what the next thing is that you want or need, you always know how you want to feel. You always know that. Like, there is never a question. And it's sometimes you ask for a feeling that you don't think you're going to get, right? You think, well, I want to retire in 10 years and I want to feel freedom. I want to have so much wealth and so much bounty around me that I never worry again, that I can just exhale and be in that space. Okay. The feeling, though, is exhaling and being in that space. You think money is going to be the thing that will, you know, get you there, and you're not really sure what to do to get that money. So just focus on that feeling of exhaling and freedom and not having to ever worry about a thing again. Let that then be the North Star. Let that be the guiding road. So that, again, so flow dreaming is kind of a huge philosophy as well as a practice. It's like yoga in that sense. You know, you can go to the gym, do all your poses, or you can understand yoga from a deeper level and dharma and all the different pieces that make it make sense. Flow dreaming as a practice is the thing you can do for 15 minutes each day. As a philosophy, it's got all these layers to unpack. One of which is, I always feel that we are always capable of getting into a state of pure divine alignment. We live in a world whose basic split is dualism, yin and yang, up and down, forward and backward, light and dark. Yet we seem to be constantly moving in one direction. There is a natural direction that's uninterrupted. The best example is time. Time doesn't really get screwed up very often. The earth is always moving around the sun. It's not encountering resistance. If you're a bird and you're flying in the sky, you can fly with the current. You'll go forward faster in a beautiful, aligned, getting to your goal. If you turn around and fly against the current, against the wind, you're going to stutter and stop in place. So the universe we're existing in right now seems to have a direction that we could all just sort of get into, should we wish to. If a bird can do it, if the earth can do it, time itself is doing it, we too are doing it. And if a bigger, more existential level is, most of us do believe that as souls or beings, we are moving into ever more complex self-awareness. We call it growth, right? Development, getting something bigger, in becoming something bigger inside of ourselves as beings. That's the same thing. Right? None of us are saying, I want to get worse. I want to know less. I want to go backwards in my evolution, both biologically, spiritually. So in flow, we're recognizing I want to be in this perfect state of alignment. So imagine, you know, you could pull an ace out of the deck or a two. Most of us want the ace. You know, that's the best card we can get. We don't want the two. That's frustration and going backwards against the trend. So in flow dreaming, one of the things we look at in our life is, how do I get in perfect and divine alignment? And once I'm in that place, how do I communicate the kind of feelings I'm striving for? Once I know those feelings and I'm striving for them, how can I allow life itself to shift around me to start to reflect or embark on giving me opportunities for those feelings? So this is a kind of classic idea in manifesting, right? What you are inside is what the world outside of you is reflecting. So my whole job is to create the world inside me. And it's not just something in my head. It's an energy practice every day. So for instance, if we're done with this and I go and flow dream for a while, maybe what I'm going to say is something like, I want to feel absolute joy and perfect freedom and love, and that I have enough. All those feelings, and I want it to be in the area of my work and career, what I literally do with my day. Sorry, I close my eyes often when I kind of naturally drop into this state. So I'm going to go and I'm going to feel this. I feel absolutely in love with what I do. I feel so joyful and lucky doing this. I feel like the income and the resources to support me so I can do more of this, it's a no-brainer. It's just right here. It surrounds me. It is me. If I do that, think of it like this. Every thought we have, everything that we do literally becomes part of who we are. It becomes embedded in us. It's a little piece of information that is now a part of us. Every experience, every memory you have is part of you. When you're doing a practice like this, it is also now becoming literally part of you. And if you're doing it often enough, it becomes a bigger and bigger and bigger part of you. And other parts of you, you know, kind of takes over, you know, the big, beautiful bush in the garden is growing over all the other stuff. So that is my goal, that this part of me grows so big and so lush and so vibrant that the other parts of me, the ones that I'm typically doing during the day, which are, oh my God, I have to answer this email. I'm dreading this. Oh, it's going to be so, oh, I got to pay my bills and oh, I don't have enough, right? Lack thoughts and so forth that we habitually kind of spew out. Those may still be there, but the other part of me is growing and consciously being attended to. It is smothering or overcoming that other part of me. Now, the world is reflecting who I am, right? I'm a pinball in the pinball machine and I'm bouncing all over. It's reflecting me. And you know, the levers are pushing me here and there, but I'm generating where I'm going toward those levers. Meaning, you know, it was a difficult metaphor, but pardon me. The kinds of things that are now, encountering me have to shift and match and meet me. It's sort of one of those laws of the universe, right? Like attracts like. Alignment means you and the other thing are just right there. So if a part of what I'm asking for, to go back to that path of ultimate ease, is I'm in a place where all the effort I expend, all the hard work I expend yields the maximum amount of results. I'm in a place of no friction. I don't want to encounter restriction. I want to cruise into this next place and I want the experience of that and I'm feeling it. And here are the areas I'm feeling it in. So this practice kind of opens up a lot of doors as you can kind of get a guess. I mean, we're scratching the surface right now.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense to me. And it's a lot of new information, which is awesome, but it definitely makes sense. I love everything you've been talking about. I love the idea of complex self-awareness, because I'm a different person than I was yesterday and my wants and preferences and desires have changed. And if I'm not checking in on myself, well, then I'm probably not going to end up where I'm at or where I wind up, because of what I was working on might not give me the feelings that I really want today, even though they were the feelings I wanted yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it certainly makes sense that it would be a daily practice. And society has told me that I should, you know, start a huge company or grow a huge company, but I don't know that that's something that I want. Or if I'm a musician, I'm always curious as to why some musicians aren't constantly making new music, but maybe that's not what they want. So it's so much, but I think you've done a great job breaking it down.
Yeah. Yeah. When you say, you know, society has all these expectations for us, it's very true. I've been caught in that myself, you know, growing Flow Dreaming into a multi-million dollar company. And I have had everything from tons of staff to nothing but a VA to I've been through all that. I've heard all the different language about how to do something, how to get there. Ultimately, I found my place where I feel happiest and most content. The size of my company, the employees in the company, and that's where, for me, I'm trying to align my actions with really my emotional goals, instead of trying to do all the actions that I'm told to get to an emotional goal. I'm coming from my emotional spot first. In other words, I'm sort of flipping that around. And, you know, that reminds me of another really important point. Most of us are relying on life to give us reasons to feel things. If you have a great big company, then you're going to feel secure. You're going to feel rich. You're going to feel like you were successful, but you really want to just feel those things anyway. So you can't have those feelings until you get the result of a big company or whatever it may be. Meaning that we're often, I call it a power leak. We're often waiting on life to give us permission to feel the things that we want to be feeling. Mm. And that's not life's job. That's not other people's job. It's our job. So we flip that around and we take the power back inside of ourselves. I feel abundant. I feel really successful. I am operating at peak optimal efficiency and joy inside of myself. Okay, world. Now you give me reasons to feel that way. I challenge you. I dare you. You align to me, not me to you. And I think that's one of the biggest, you know, awakenings or takeaways you can have right now. That all the things you're waiting to feel, you're waiting on other people or situations to change or your boss to do something for you or recognize your talent, or you're waiting so you can feel how you want to feel on all of these outside variables that really have no reason to, or even want, or even know that you're waiting on them to make you feel a certain way. So we don't do that anymore in flow dreaming. We create our feelings inside of ourselves and challenge the world instead to match us. And, you know, one other note I wanted to mention too is this practice, this philosophy I found over the years is really perfect for people who have struggled with meditation, first of all, because you're not clearing your mind. You're actually creating a very rich emotional landscape in your mind, and you're giving your mind something to do. And we often have very, anxious minds, minds that have, they want to help out. It's like a friendly, I always call it like my friendly dog, my German Shepherd. He's like, I just want to help you. And like, just don't tell me to sit for an hour. I hate that. You know, I'm like, yeah, you want me to throw you a bone and play fetch. So I'm doing that with my mind and giving it that. Incidentally, if you have ADHD, you're also going to love it. If you are a big reader and you love books and you can already immerse yourself in other worlds, you're going to love it. So it really appeals to a certain, you know, pie slice of the population as kind of an ideal practice, whereas others may have failed. And I don't know, I encourage people to find their own way with it. Get as woo-woo as you want. For me, it's an ideal way to contact the universe, you know, to be in the space of all that is and let it know this is what I'm going for. For other people who aren't that way, they're just saying, look, I have so much anxiety. I need to practice a countering emotion. So today I'm going to try to call up a feeling of peace and safety. And I'm going to hold that feeling for as long as I can inside me because I'm not waiting for something outside me to give it to me. I've got to figure this out myself. And I'm going to keep doing it until I can sustain that and feel that for a good 5 minutes or whenever I want. Right. So, I mean, those are two extremes that you can use this for. Me, I mean, I'm using the whole spectrum of it. So there.
I think it's all super powerful. Mm. And I can't wait to dig deeper into it myself. So thank you so much for coming on, Summer. Where can people learn more? How can they engage?
Thanks, George. And thank you for letting me, you know, also share it with everybody and with you. Even if it's a brief overview, it's enough to, it's one of those things where if you hear it and it just hits you right, you go, oh my gosh. Yeah, I needed that. It's time. If not, no big deal. Find me at flowdreaming.com. Find me on your app, on your phone, Flow Dreaming for Meditation and Manifesting. Find my podcast, also called Flow Dreaming. Everything is Flow Dreaming. Smart. I'm on Instagram though, under my name, Summer McStravick. And I have a tutorial on YouTube that teaches people much more in depth this practice. It's like a 5 or 6 or 7 part tutorial. And it's all free. I've always taught this process 100% for free for people, but that I've made available other things that they can use to practice with, such as playlists, like the same way you might do a guided meditation. I have a guided flow dream for you. So I'm doing the heavy lifting by telling you what to see and what to feel to create or shape certain aspects of your life. So all of those are great starting places. And, you know, I even give people free flow dreams as soon as they come to my website. I'm like, here, take these, enjoy them, play them in the car, play them as you lay in bed, play them whenever. So those are, I've got a ton out there. Like I said, I've been doing this for several decades.
I love it. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show some of your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to flowdreaming.com and dig more into all the things that Summer and I have been talking about. You can find an app, the Flow Dreaming. What is the name of the app again?
Flow Dreaming for Meditation and Manifesting.
Flow Dreaming for Meditation and Manifestation. Find the podcast Flow Dreaming where you listen to your podcasts. Summer McStravick on Instagram. And then go to the Flow Dreaming YouTube channel and take advantage of the tutorial that Summer's been talking about. And I will certainly link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Summer.
Thank you so much, George, for this opportunity to talk with you and all of your audience. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.